What's up? This your girl Yasmin Nicole, and welcome back to another episode in the Geeky Natural Mind podcast. Today, I wanted to start a new series that's going to go up on the show every Monday called Monday Moment. And what a Monday Moment is, I'm going to take a moment to talk about the real issues that's going on in mom life, and not just mom life, everyday life that, you know, that should be expressed. Because everybody's pretty much going through the same thing, and you know, they just need some encouragement. And I feel like in the social media age, there's not a lot of encouragement. So I wanted to bring some encouragement and a little bit of my story to the topic at hand today. And I also wanted to bring to your attention that Austin, my one-year-old, is here. The other two are at school, so you might hear him in the background. So just wanted to let you know that, but when he starts crying and wailing, he's playing right now, but once he starts crying and wailing, I have to end the show. So hopefully I can get what I need to say out, especially what's on my notes, and just, you know, do the show pretty much. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today is mental health. And why is so much stigma towards mental health, especially in the mom community, the African American community? Because it seems like the support is there, like as far as like having a support, but then it's really not. You know, when our president of the United States thinks that, you know, mental health is a joke, this is where we have to bring awareness to, you know, what's going on, because mental health is real. And I'm not trying to make this a political thing, and I'm trying to keep the politics out of it, but this is the reality of what we live in, especially with everything going on with, you know, violence and our children being neglected and abused. So I think we need to kind of like bring that into the forefront. So I'm going to tell a little bit of my story about, you know, my mental health journey. When I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with depression. I was very suicidal then because I was getting bullied in school, and, you know, a lot of stuff was going on like in my personal life, and, you know, I didn't want to be here anymore. And like, I felt like, you know, like life wasn't for me. And I think, you know, now as I get ready to turn 30 and I look back on that moment in my life, that's why I'm so appreciative of life, because I didn't want it, you know, at you know, that moment in time. So I guess you can say it was a suicide note that I wrote, but it was really more saying how I feel like, you know, I didn't want to be here. And, you know, this was in high school. So I had to go to a behavioral school, and I was prescribed pills and things like that. The school was definitely experienced, and like, I've seen people get shot out with needles. Like, I'm taking pauses because, like, when I think about it, like, I get emotional. So, like, excuse, like, the long pauses, because I'm trying not to be emotional. I mean, geez, don't get emotional. Oh, I'm not saying I'm a G, but, like, I kind of keep my emotions, like, out of these situations. But then, like, I'm grateful, you know, to be emotional, because at the same time, this is something that I've been through, and I, you know, had a lot of growth in that process. So when I went there, like, it was just something totally different. And, you know, when I was thinking about it at that time, I was like, yo, this is like something, like, you know, I really feel this way. And there's other people that probably went through the same thing I went through, and probably thought, had the same suicidal thoughts that I went through. And just seeing that, you know, in the forefront, it was just kind of like, it was kind of eye-opening. But then at the same time, like, I still felt depressed, even though, you know, I was there. I was still felt depressed. Like, I missed my mom. You know, I missed my friends at school. But it was something that I had to do. It was an experience. So when I came back home, I felt a little better, but then I still felt, you know, not suicidal. I didn't feel suicidal anymore, but I still felt depressed, if that makes sense. So at the same time, I wanted to like talk to my mom about it. And here's the point that I'm trying to make. Like, in the African-American community, because I am African-American, it seems like we're not able to talk about our feelings towards each other. It's like a grudge thing, and it's always like, you can't, you know, you got to keep your feelings to yourself, or, you know, you're going to get the finger pointed at you. So I feel like, I think mostly African-American families, people that's been in an African-American family or in one, obviously know kind of what I'm saying, because, you know, we, you know, go through a different struggle than other races. Like, we go through a different struggle. So it's hard to, like, really express yourself and saying how you feel. No, you're not, you know, you don't want to blame the parents, because maybe the parents don't really know. But I felt like, you know, if my mom, I wasn't able to really talk to my mom about my feelings, God rest her soul. But she was kind of like a prude in the situation, I would say, because like, if I wanted to talk to her about something, like, she would kind of brush it off and be stubborn about it. So I think now, like, as I got older, like, I'm thinking back on it, like, this is probably why I rebelled a little, because, like, I was getting the attention from my mom, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't able to come to her with, you know, my deep personal thoughts and how I was feeling. And, you know, when I went to this, you know, to the behavior school, I know that, you know, she probably felt some type of way. She probably felt I was like, this was a joke. Like, you know, I was joking about this. Like, this wasn't no joke. Like, I was really having these deep-rooted feelings. And I know she probably felt bad, you know, I was there, and, you know, she felt helpless. So I look back on that stuff now, and like, if I hadn't went through all that, like, I wouldn't be in a better mental space than I am in now. So I was on Zoloft for a while. Like, for people that are on like antidepressants, like you look like a fucking zombie. Like, you look like straight dead. Like, when I went back to school and I was taking those pills, like, I was legit like sleep in math class. Like, I will never forget that. Like, I would be straight sleep, like, dead. Like, the teacher had to wake me up from the class and ask me, like, are you all right? Like, because I was taking the medication. And then the medication, like, they upped my dosage, so I was just, like, out of it. So I told my mom, like, listen, I don't want to take, you know, this medication, because, like, I don't feel right. You know, I'm not, you know, who I am or who I wanted to be. So she agreed, and I didn't take, you know, Zoloft ever since. But it still plays like a big factor in like really talking to, like, as parents talking to your children about their feelings. Even if they don't want to, they feel like, even if they can't come to you, they should be able to have a safe haven, and they shouldn't find that safe haven in something else that's bad. If I hope that makes sense, because, you know, that's what I did. I found, you know, a safe haven in bad shit, and it got me in trouble in the long run. But because I felt like I wasn't able to talk to her about how I felt. So I think now, as a parent, like, especially, you know, my children being in the autism spectrum, it's important to me that I'm able to communicate with them and tell them how I feel. Because I feel like as parents, we need to tell the children how we feel so they can understand on a deeper level what like expressing yourself and really having a healthy relationship, you know, as a family. Like, I truly do believe that. And also, I think that it should be a balance with trying to discipline your child, meaning like, you know, I'm doing this because I love you, like kindly explaining to them, not because, you know, we let our anger get the best of us and we take it out on our children. And I try not to do that, but real moms know, like, when you get frustrated, like, you take it out on them. And I'm not gonna lie, it's been a few times that, you know, I took my frustration out on them, not in a way where I was hurting them, but like I was really like, I had it up to here, because like again, I was frustrated. So I mean, I'm going to be completely honest about everything, because I feel as though that you, the listener, I owe that to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything I do or say, but I feel like it should definitely be a balance between discipline and actually, you know, saying what needs to be said. I hope I'm like making sense, because like I'm kind of going like with my notes, but then I'm like kind of like freestyling what's in my head right now, because like when my mind is going, like I just go off of that. I just keep going, and then like I have to let that out, and then I will feel better about, you know, what I'm saying, and like hope it resonates, you know, to you, the listener. So I'm going off track a little bit. So back to my mental health story. Let's fast forward a few years later. I'll say like 18, 19 years old, when I had Maya. I was in a very depressive state. I was living in another state at the time. My mom started to get sick with cancer, and I felt like I didn't have an outlet. I felt like I didn't have like nobody to talk to, especially in my family, because, you know, the family, my family was so separate. And then I couldn't really go to my friends to say what was going on, because, you know, I didn't want to place that burden on them. So like that made me like super depressed, and I couldn't really function as a parent at the time. So like, I'm trying to find, you know, love in these guys. Like I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Like, I was trying to find love in these guys and thinking that, you know, somebody is going to give me what I need and, you know, take this away. And now being older, that's not the case. Like, you know, I'm seeing my worth, and I know my worth, like, only because I'm trying to find that comfort, you know, dealing with my depression. And then around that time, I was drinking and I was smoking and things like that. And, you know, like I couldn't function because my mom was my world, and I couldn't deal with that. Like my mom was like, we were really close. So like seeing her be in pain and seeing her and to know that she was dying, like that felt like somebody just constantly stabbing you in the heart. So at this time, Maya was staying with a family member. And I asked her, I said, listen, I need to get myself together, you know, mentally. Because mentally, like, I wasn't there. Like, I was just like, I wasn't there. And I needed to find myself. But at that time, like, when I did that, I thought, you know, I was finding myself, but then at the same time, I really wasn't. I still needed some soul searching. So before, you know, Maya stayed with that family member, you know, I went back, you know, to get help and things like that. And they diagnosed me with major depressive disorder. And I can't tell you what that means. I'm not a doctor, but basically, like, you can be having the best year of your life. Like, everything could be going good and you'll still be depressed. That's like the short version I can give you. But, so they prescribed me pills again, but I came to the realization that pills are not for me because I don't like the imbalance in my body. Like, I don't like the reactions toward it. And I'm not knocking anybody that takes medication. I'm just speaking for myself. Like, I feel like medication isn't for me. So now that I'm still dealing with this, like, I find different ways to, like to deal with it. I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be, like, 10 years ago. And I have it under control now because I'm not in that dark space anymore. But I do have outlets that I do. Like, if I, you know, if I start to feel like I'm in a funk, like, I'll try to do yoga, meditation, write in my journal. That was a big thing for me. I wrote in my journal. I try to talk about it. Again, like, you don't want to be that burden towards nobody because, like, everybody has their own problems and, like, you don't want to come to somebody with your problems because that's, like, a heavier burden on them because, you know, they feel, you know, they're there to support you and it's basically nothing they can do but offer advice or a little bit of support, you know? So, at the end of the day, a long story short, from then till now, I've handled my mental health better, and I'm constantly trying to show growth that I'm going to keep getting better, and I'm not going to let this defeat me. So, where I'm getting from is that no matter what you're going through, it's only for a moment. And I would never forget what someone said to me, like, a long time ago. She said, like, we never have bad days. We have bad moments. So the bad moments are only there for a moment. Like, God is building you for the strong, like, your strength. Like, God knows your strength and how strong you can be. So, yeah, you may feel like shit sometimes. Everything is tumbling down on you. Everything is just, you know, at a standstill. But you got to remember, it's only for a moment. And your glow up is going to begin. Like, I'm a living testimony for that. And no matter what you're going through, it's somebody in the background supporting you. They may be on earth. They may be in an angel form like my mom. Someone is always supporting you. You feel like you don't have no support? Shit, I'm here to support you if you don't have no support. But it's always somebody in the background, especially God, that is supporting you. And I'm 100% believer in that. So basically what I'm trying to get through with this Monday moment is that from anything you can accomplish, like, any, you can accomplish anything no matter what, you know, you are mentally. So also in the African-American community, we have to stop thinking that our children are crazy or our family members are crazy when they say, listen, I don't feel right. We gotta fill that void and have the support for, you know, our fellow family member, our fellow friend, and not trying to push them to the side when they're saying, listen, I have a problem. You know, I don't feel like myself. And I'm just speaking for the African American community because this is what I see. And this is from conversations that I had. Like, if you tell somebody that you depressed, they flag that shit off. Like, you ain't depressed. You fine. Go sit down somewhere. That's what the average black parent would say. You ain't depressed. Go sit your ass down somewhere, right? So it's pretty much like we kind of not having conversations with our children, and that's where the bullying lies. That's where, you know, the dysfunction lies because we're not talking to each other. Like, you know, we got this social media stuff and it's not, you know, it's supposed to fill that void. We think that it's supposed to fill that void, but it's really not. Like, we need to start having conversations healthy. Let's add that in there too. Healthy conversations with our children about mental health and their feelings and, you know, what can we do to change if in a situation. So I think that's very important, especially in the African-American community, in any type of race or any of that, because this is real. This is happening. And we need to bring that to the forefront and bring awareness. Like, awareness is very important because it seems like people are fucking airheads and think like everything is a conspiracy theory. And it's really not, you know, like, it's really not. Like, we need to stop, you know, having the head stuck in our ass, having the clouds, being in the clouds, and like really have conversation about these issues, because they're not going away. And by the way that we're going, it's going to get worse. So, and I mean, we got the government, but it starts with us. It starts with the parents. It starts with family. That's the, because family is the foundation. So without having that foundation, and if you don't have family, maybe friends that you call your family, that's where the foundation lies. Because you're not born with ignorance, and you're not born with stupidity. Stupidity is taught, ignorance is taught. So it starts with the foundation. When you start with the foundation, then you build the house. You get what I'm saying? Because you build the foundation and you build the house. So I hope that, you know, we're able to start talking and communicate and really bring love and positivity towards, you know, our children and towards our family members and friends, and let them know, like, hey, I'm with you. No matter what you're going through, I don't know what you're going through, but I empathize with you. And I want you to know that I'm here for you. And we're not hearing that at all. I know I'm not, definitely not. And I'm not faulting like anybody that knows me. I'm just saying, as people, because we're so busy. You know what I'm saying? We're so busy. We're so caught up in our lives. We don't stop for a second to think like, hey, you know, I wonder what so-and-so is doing. I wonder, you know, if they're okay. You know, we should meet up and have a cup of coffee. We should, you know, meet up and talk, or just, you know, talk on the phone, FaceTime or anything like that. But we're so, our minds are so quick, and it's like, go, 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 go. Like, we're not thinking about the mental aspect of having a conversation, or the mental aspect of just being present, if that makes sense. So I'm all in all saying this because I think that we as people should understand why it's important to be kind. It also, the foundation and being kind. So if we have those two things, this world can be a better place. And that's my time, because Austin is starting to wail. So I hope that you got a lot out of what I'm saying. But basically what I'm saying is, let's stop the fucking stigma. Let's have conversations. Let's, you know, let's lift up the people that are dealing with mental health issues. Let's all hug each other. Like, you know, I mean, I might sound like a hippie, but it's true. Like, stop the fucking stigma. Like, how are we supposed to heal and grow as people if we can't say, listen, I know you have, I keep saying it over and over again because, like, it's true. And I'm going to keep saying it over and over again because that's how true it is. Like, we need to stop with the stigma. We need to check in on those people that are so strong. and holding everything, because sometimes the strongest are pretty much the ones that are holding in a lot. And I could speak for myself for that. I may be the strongest, most positive person that you know, but, you know, I deal with a lot of burdens. I deal with some deep shit, but, you know, I pray, I meditate, you know, but all in all, you still got to check on those strong people, because even the strong people break down. So that's why it's important that, well, you know, talking about our mental health is important, because if not, how are we supposed to function? Where can the self-love begin? Because without, you know, our mental being healthy, there's no self-love. There's no love. You can give love to anybody else if you're not getting that closure and self-love within yourself. Especially if you have, like, you blame a lot of people and you deal with a lot in your life and you pointing a finger at everybody, play the victim. And I don't mean that in, like, a bad way, but you pretty much playing a victim because you don't know what else to do because you're so traumatized. So, as people, we need to get closure within ourselves, not just, like, in a physical standpoint, just with someone, but just a mental standpoint within yourself, saying, okay, I'm letting go. So, when we let go and we get that closure, even though it may not be in the physical sense, like maybe just writing a letter or, you know, anything that would help you to get that closure that you need so you can move on. I'm not going to say, like, you know, the depression is going to go away, because it's not. Depression is always going to linger. I don't care what, you know, these preachers and all these other people say, like, depression and any other type of mental health is going to linger. And it's up to you to really take a hold of your health, especially if you want to be around for your children. It's definitely important to, you know, stand up and say, I had enough. And, you know, I'm ready to get what I need. So I'm just saying this to say this, like, whatever you're going through, I love you. I hope everything will get better, and it will get better. And I pray that you will have peace and joy in your heart. And I'm not trying to preach, but I mean, that's what I really want. So I hope everything I said made sense. That's going to be all for today's Monday moment. I hope you enjoyed. If you got any feedback or any requests or any comments you want to add, do you want me to touch on mental health more? Let me know. Like I said, I didn't even read the notes now. I just, like, kind of just went with what I had on my heart. So I hope it wasn't all over the place. But I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate all the positive feedback from the last two episodes. I got some plays. Like, I'm grateful for just even one, somebody just listening, you know, because, like, you know, this is like one of the things that keeps me going, that keeps me sane. That's, you know, that mommy moment that I had for myself. Like, I'm able to, like, express myself creatively through, you know, my listeners. So I really appreciate the people that listen to the last two episodes, and there is more to come. So stay tuned. I hope y'all have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Peace and love.